This morning, let's turn to the Old Testament. Old Testament book of Micah. Micah chapter 7 this morning. It is good to see you all out this morning and good crowd again. And God is just continuing to bless us. And I know there's folks on vacation right now and things. You do pray for their safety. But we are glad to have you here today. We'd ask you, if you can and will, to stand today as we honor the reading of God's holy word. Micah chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read on down through and including verse number 9. Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. The prophet says, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness." Let's pray. God, we are thankful, Lord, just what a wonderful service we've had already. God, I thank you that you've desired, God, to join with us today. And Father, we have offered you praise, Lord, because we know you inhabit the praise of your people. God, I thank you for everyone that has come out today and made their way to your house. God, I pray that you would just bless them in abundance. God, I thank you for my dear friends, Lord, who have traveled from Florida to come and be with us this morning. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the friendship that we share. And God, I pray that you will keep them in the remaining of their travels, Lord. God, I pray now, Father, that you would just move in the remainder of this service. Lord, I need unction of the Holy Ghost, Father, to preach. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would move divinely upon us, Lord. I pray that we might preach the authority of your word. God, give us attentive minds today, Father, that we might hear you speak to us. And God, I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that don't know Christ. God, they're just a step away from death. God, a step away from an eternity, Lord, without Christ. God, I pray, Lord, that they might realize, Lord, the urgency of their situation and where they're at. God, I pray that before this day is over, that they might move to an old-fashioned altar, Lord, and come, Lord, in repentance and call upon Jesus to save their soul. God, I pray that you edify your children today and encourage them, Father, that, Lord, that we might walk, Lord, in boldness, Father. Lord, understanding, God, we can come before your throne of grace and do so boldly where we'll find help in time of need. And for all that is accomplished, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If I were to ask you this morning to name a great baseball player, who would you name? Most folks know of Babe Ruth. During Babe Ruth's career, he hit 714 home runs. And for many years, Babe Ruth held the record for the most career home runs until Hank Aaron broke the record back in the 70s. But even so, most of us would say that Babe Ruth is a great baseball player. But do you realize this morning that Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times? He hit 714 home runs, but 1,330 times he could not make contact with the baseball. Babe Ruth failed, but Babe Ruth was not a failure. If I were to ask you to name me a great president, who would you name? Some of you might say Abraham Lincoln, and I'd say most of us probably would agree. We even refer to him as Honest Abe. But do you realize that Abe Lincoln lost 8 elections, failed in business twice, and also experienced a nervous breakdown? Abraham Lincoln failed, but Abe Lincoln was not a failure. What is failure? For some, it's not living up to certain expectations, to be a disappointment. It may be a breakdown in our lives. It may be a letdown. Some of you today may be feeling like right now that you're failing. Some are living with the consequences of past failures, and others may be living in the fear of failing. You may be failing in what you should be doing, or you may be failing in doing what you should not be doing. Others may know about your failures, or others, maybe only God knows. You may feel that you're a failure as a parent or as a spouse. You may feel that you're a failure as the example that you should be to someone else. In almost any area of life, you and I could feel like a failure. Well, the prophet Micah knew all about failure. Micah, whose name means "who is like unto the Lord," is one of a great series of prophets that came out of the 8th century B.C. that flourished in both Israel and Judah. He's a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah, but his social standing was much different than Isaiah. See, Micah was from the town of Moresheth. Moresheth was near the town of Gath. Most of you understand the town of Gath was famous for one big tall giant named Goliath. And Moresheth was about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Like Amos, Micah was a rustic prophet with a rural ministry, while Isaiah was a city-bred nobleman who devoted his prophetic efforts to the population center and the king's court in Jerusalem. And Micah's prophecies are given over a long period of time. They were given during the periods of 3 kings, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah, all of whom were kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. During this time, the northern kingdom fell to Assyria in 722 B.C., and this caused Judah to become a vassal state for Assyria, and for many years they were required to pay heavy tribute to Assyria. But it was King Hezekiah who finally abandoned this pro-Assyrian foreign policy, and this led to the invasion of Judah by King Sennacherib in 701 B.C., but that invasion was driven back by God. A great deal of Micah's prophecy was given during the reign of King Ahaz. Judah had become corrupt and idolatrous. The wealthy coveted the land of the people around them, and they used their clout to underhandedly obtain it. The poor were robbed. Corrupt business ethics were practiced, and there were numerous false prophets who only prophesied for monetary gain. The priests taught for a price. The rulers and the judges could be bribed. Although the people were still religious, it was nothing more than empty ceremonialism. They had divorced themselves from God's standards in order to commit their unscrupulous practices. Micah, as we pick up in chapter 7, is feeling frustrated. He's tried his best to speak to the children of Judah about justice and about faithfulness, but it feels to him as though no word that he has said has been taken seriously. It has been an absolutely devastating year for Judah, and one would think that it would call the nation to a time of self-examination, repentance, and renewal. And Micah had hoped that through his preaching this would happen. However, just the opposite occurred. But folks, can I tell you today that how a person handles failure can mean the difference between living a life of victory and living a life filled with bitterness and anger and hostility? How do you work through failure? See, Micah experienced failure, or at least what he thought was failure, but in the end he experienced God's victory. And today, I believe we can look in these pages right here and we can learn from Micah on how to deal and overcome failures in our life. And I simply want to preach a little message that I've entitled, Being Down is Not Your Final Destination. Being down is not your final destination. I want you to understand that Micah faced a great deal of discouragement. We find that Micah was discouraged with his own personal failure. In verse number 1 of chapter 7, he said, Woe is me. He said, For I am when they have gathered the summer fruits as the great gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. What he's talking about a time of harvest when people will come through the vineyards and they will pick the first ripe fruit. But as what happens many times when you go through the fields to pick the fruit is you leave some fruit behind. And that fruit stays on the vine and the sun continues to bake on that fruit until it swells up too large, it bursts open and the sun dries it and bakes it out. And what Micah was saying was that through my preaching, I had hoped to have received a harvest as if I was going through and picking the first ripe fruit. But the problem is I didn't receive the first ripe fruit. Even though I preached and preached and prophesied, it didn't seem like anybody would pay any attention. It didn't seem like anybody would heed to the Word of God. It didn't seem like anybody would make a change in their lives, and instead of receiving the first ripe fruits of the harvest, all I've got is the leftovers that's hanging out in the field that has stood out in the sun too long, and they're worth nothing now. Folks, Micah was discouraged by his own failure. I wonder if you've ever been discouraged by your own personal failures. I wonder if there's ever been a time when you've done something you shouldn't have done, or whether you didn't do those things which you should have done. I wonder if there was a time that someone looked at you and thought of you as a failure. I wonder if you were ever like Abe Lincoln and you went on a business deal, but that deal failed. I wonder if you ever tried to get an education, but you never made it. I wonder if you've been through this marriage and this relationship and that relationship, but it didn't seem like anything worked. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've tried all these other things, but it just didn't seem like it made a difference in your life. Everything you tried, it never amounted to much of anything, and you feel like a failure. Folks, let me tell you something. Micah's in your same boat, because Micah preached through the reigns of three different kings. Over 50 years he proclaimed a prophecy to Judah. Over 50 years he told them to change their lives and turn around, but for over 50 years they rejected the Word of God. Folks, Micah was discouraged by what he perceived as his own personal failure. He was also discouraged with what he calls the faithful, because the Bible says in verse number 2, he said, look at society. He said, the good man is perished out of the earth. He said, there's none upright among men. He said, they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. In other words, look out over society today, and what are they looking after? They're looking after numero uno. They're going to look after themselves. They're going to make sure if they can do you in to get a little higher up, that's what they're going to do. He said, you can look all over the earth, and there's not even a good man to be found anymore. And he's talking about Judah here. He said, this is God's chosen people, but when I look out through God's people, he said, I can't even find a good person anywhere. He says in verse number 4, he said, the best of them is as a briar. Boy, you think about that. As good as he can possibly find in Judah is nothing more than something as harmful as a briar. He said, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. And folks, what Micah is telling us is that not only have I become discouraged because of my own personal failures, but I've become discouraged by the faithful people of God, because they've turned from God. They won't serve God. They won't long for God. They won't listen to God. And as good as you can possibly find, it no better than a thorn. You ever been discouraged with church? You ever been discouraged with church people? You ever been discouraged with folks that you looked up to? You ever been discouraged by those that you thought would live above reproach, but they said something, done something, went somewhere all of a sudden, and you thought, how in the world could they do that? Have you ever been there before? Micah had been there. Don't act like you ain't been there. I know you have. Because you know what? I've been there. And Micah has been there. He said, I look all over this earth. He said, I can't even find a good person anywhere. That's how distraught Micah was. For over 50 years he had preached and nobody would heed. And he said, you know what? He said, I've realized something. He said, there ain't nobody here anymore that's going to pay any attention to God.
One day, the story goes of a certain old rich man. He had a miserable disposition and he visited his local rabbi. And the rabbi took the rich man by the hand and led him to a window. And he told the rich man, he said, "Look out there." And the rich man looked into the street. And the rabbi said, "What do you see?" The rich man said, "I see men, women, and children." And again, the rabbi took him by the hand and this time led the rich man to a mirror and said, "Now what do you see?" The rich man said, "Now I see myself." And the rabbi said, "Well, behold, in the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver. And no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, but you only see yourself." Isn't that the truth? That's why Paul told Timothy, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some which coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Even David wrote in Psalm chapter 12, he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You say, "Preacher, boy, this thing's really uplifting today, ain't it?" Hang on with me, all right? Not only was Micah discouraged with the faithful, not only was he discouraged with personal failures, he was also discouraged with his friends. Look what he said in verse number 5. "Trust ye," I mean, this point blank. "Trust ye not in a friend," he said. Don't put your hope in a friend. And what that leads us to understand is that Micah's been let down by his friends. Those that were his closest compatriots, those that he could trust in, those that he thought had his back, so to speak, those were the ones that let him down. And Micah was discouraged because of his own personal failures, because of the faithlessness that he found in society, and because of the friends who had let him down. And not only was he discouraged by his friends, but look also in verses 5 and 6, he's also discouraged with his own family. Look what it says in verse 5. "Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom." He says, I don't even trust my wife anymore. That's what he says. I'm not going to tell her anything because I can't trust her. See, he said, "Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in the bosom." He said, "For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." Folks, with friends and family like that, who needs enemies? See, Micah was discouraged. I wonder if that is not a picture of many people today. I wonder how many people out here today have broken, fractured family relationships. They've been at odds with family, mothers that are at odds with their children, fathers that are at odds with their children, brothers and sisters that have been at odds for a long time. They have had fractured relationships for years and years and years. And if you were to ask them, "Do you trust this one that's in your family?" they'd say, "No way. I wouldn't open my mouth to tell that person anything because I can't trust them to hold on to nothing." And by the way, that was the very problem that Samson had when Delilah came to him. "Tell me the source of your strength. Tell me how you can break all these bands. Tell me all these things." Oh, and here she just lying right in his bosom, him lying in hers. And you know what? He finally, after she goaded him and prodded him and prodded him, finally he told her the truth and said, "Well, the hair of my head's never been touched. It's never been cut." And the Bible said while he slept, he got his hair cut. And then when the Philistines come to grab him up, the Bible said he rose up as like before to subdue the Philistines, but he did not know that God had left him. Boy, it's a sad place to be, ain't it? To be so spiritually gone that you don't even remember or know the place where God left you at. Folks, the Bible says here Micah was discouraged. I wonder if there's anybody here today like Micah, discouraged because of failures. You might deem yourself a failure. You might deem your marriage a failure. You might deem your family a failure. You might deem your career a failure. You might deem all these other things failures. Maybe you deem your education a failure. I don't know what you deem a failure, but I wonder if there's anybody here today that's in the same boat that Micah is in, and you're discouraged because of failure. Folks, Micah was discouraged, but I want you to see the decision that Micah made. Because you know what? Here's what happens most of the time. When failure comes and discouragement comes, people tend to lay in it. People tend to hang out in it. But let me tell you something, Micah didn't do that. Micah had preached a long time and nobody had responded. You look at old Noah, built that ark, that great ark that housed all the animals of the world, and preached for what we believe to be approximately 100 years. But the only ones that would listen to him, the only ones that ended up in that boat was his own family. 8 people in the boat for a man that preached nearly 100 years. We might look at that and say, that's a failure. But let me tell you something. Ask any one of those 8 people on that boat and see what they think about it. You know what? You might think, you know what? This never amounted to anything. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a little story of this mom and dad who took their little daughter to the beach. And they were out on the beach and she was walking up and down and the tide had come in and had gone real high, but then it had worked its way back out again. And all over that beach laying there were a mess of starfish everywhere. Everywhere you looked was starfish. They didn't have any water to get to, no way to get back to the ocean. That little girl went running around, she'd grab a starfish and she'd run it and throw it in the water. She'd get back over here and she'd grab another and she'd run and she'd throw it in the water. She'd get another and run, and she kept doing that, and dad and mom sitting there watching and saying, honey, hold on here now a second. Honey, do you realize there's no way you can get all these starfish put back out there in that water? She said, I know that, Daddy. She said, but I'll tell you what, it matters to this one. It matters to this one. And you know what? You may not be able to accomplish everything, but it matters to that one. It may not matter to anybody else what you're doing in life, but it matters to this one right here. It may not matter to anybody else how you're faring, but it matters to this one right here. Let me tell you something. Micah made a decision. He said, I ain't laying in failure. Yes, everything might have failed. Yes, my family might be a mess. Yes, society might be a mess. Yes, everything else might be a mess. But glory to God, I'm getting out of the mess. I think we need to have some people this morning just need to get up and get out of the mess. Why you want to lay around in the mess? Keep living in failure. Oh, can I tell you, the Bible said we are always, God causes us always to triumph in Him. You can't lose when you're going with God. Look at the decision that Micah made. Here's his decision. It's a twofold decision. He made the decision to petition God. He made the decision to petition God. See, a lot of people think there's no way that this will work out. There's no way this can come together. There's no way with the broken pieces it'll ever get put back together again. There's no way this can work. You know what? If you try to do it on your own, I'll amen you. But you get God involved in the situation, and I'll say you don't understand who God is. Let me tell you something. God takes those things which are not as though they already are. And those things that are impossible with man, they're possible with God. And the Bible said right here in Micah, in verse number 7 of chapter 7, He said, therefore I will look unto the Lord. Let me tell you something. Get your eyes off of the failure and get your eyes onto the one who can turn it into a success. Let me tell you something. When Jesus had 5,000 men out there, and not including women and children, and they were hungering after a long time of preaching, and there wasn't nobody but a little boy out there who had a couple of fish and 5 barley loaves, that might have looked like a failure. But you know what? That little boy brought them fish and loaves unto Jesus, and Jesus was able to feed all 5,000, including women and children, and fill up 12 baskets with the fragments. You know what? Man might have looked at that and thought that was a failure, but Jesus looked at it and saw potential. Let me tell you something. You might look at your situation and think it's failed, but God looks at it and He can see what you don't. And it's time for you to stop looking at the failure and stop looking at God. Because see, He made the decision to petition God. See, even in David, in Psalm 142, listen to his attitude right here. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That's what David said. He said, I looked all around me. There wasn't a friend to be found nowhere. Wasn't no family coming to try to bail me out. My best buddy wasn't there. There wasn't nobody around. He said, refuge. He failed me. He said, no man cared for my soul. He could have sat there and just said, woe is me. He could have sat there and cried the blues. He could have just gave up and said, oh well. But you know what he said right after that? He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You might look around and say, refuge has failed me. I'm here to tell you it has not failed you yet. And it never will fail you either. The problem is you're looking at this world and you're looking at friends and you're looking at family to be your refuge. But there'll be times when friends and family ain't enough. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. It's time to start looking at God. And when you're in a situation when it don't seem like you can take another step, it's time to stop crying to man and start crying to God. Hey, he made the decision to petition God, but he also made the decision to be patient with God. We in this fast food society that we have today, and I don't like the weight, do you? I can't stand the weight. I'll tell you a little story. I went to my doctor probably 2 years ago or so. I ain't going to tell you who he is in case some of you go to him. He knows who he is. I went to him and I went in there that front. And you know, they make you pay up front anymore. You can't get treated and then pay. Because if they get you back after you paid and they can't do nothing for you, you ain't getting your money back when you leave. And I went in there and I went to the front desk. You know it's true. This is national health care. And I went in there, and I paid my money up front. I had an appointment time. See, I don't usually go as a walk-in unless I'm just deathly sick and I didn't have time to make it. I mean, I make my appointments because, you know what, I like to be on a schedule. I like to have things organized. And I made my appointment time, and I went in there. And I got back. First, I sat in the lobby for 15, 20 minutes. Then I finally got called to go back to the doctor's room back there where the nurse weighs you, checks your blood pressure, and sticks that thing in your ear to tell you how hot you are. And then after she got done, she said, walk back here to this room over here and set me in this room. Said, the doctor will be with you in just a minute. Just a minute. Them nurses need to get saved. You know what? They need to get saved. Nothing just a minute. And he come in. I'm waiting. An hour and 20 minutes later, he still ain't in the room yet. But I can hear him in the next room. He's talking to another patient. He's been with this guy over an hour. And this guy's just crying the blues at him. There wasn't nothing wrong with him physically. He had it all up here. And he's just crying the blues. And I'm about to the point, I'm almost ready to knock on the wall and just say, tell him to grow up. There's other people sick in here. You know. Sometimes you just got to tell people that, don't you? Grow up! Well, finally, an hour and 20 minutes after waiting 20 minutes in the lobby, about an hour and 40 minutes went by. I've never been so yet. I finally get up, and I walk out the room, and I go to the front desk, and I said, I'm leaving. She said, well, did the doctor help you? I said, I don't know. I never saw him. She said, you hadn't? I said, no, and I want my money back. She said, you did it with a debit card, didn't you? I said, yeah. She said, well, we can't give it back if you done it with a debit card. Them old bankers, they key you too, won't they? I said, you can't refund my money back on this card? She said, no, if you'd have paid with cash, I'd just hand it back to you. So I still didn't get my money back. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm leaving. I said, a man sitting here and wait for almost 2 hours? I said, I'm leaving. I said, I wanted to get seen. I'm leaving. I'll find it. By the time I had a phone call before I ever got home. The doctor calling me, saying, I'm sorry you sat there that long, blah, 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 blah. I still go to him now. I get in fast. Man, it's boom. When she says it'll be a minute, she's about five, but I'm in. I'm in. You know what? We don't like to wait, do we? I don't like to wait. When I go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and I've ordered my meal or Wendy's or wherever it's at, and they say, will you please pull up a little further? And sit there and wait on us so we can make this. I don't want to pull up. Because I think I'm going to get left there. I don't want to go. And the hardest thing we do many times is wait. But Micah said, not only am I going to petition God, I'm going to be patient with God. Because God will work it all out in His own time. Oh, isn't that good? Guys, let me tell you something. If God didn't come today for you, don't you deem yourself a failure. If God don't come tomorrow for you, don't you deem yourself a failure. If you're still in that mess next week, don't you deem yourself a failure. Because you know what? God is always on time. And if you'll look to God and trust in God, God will come through for you every last time. Now, then this last thing, and I'm done. See, Micah was discouraged. That was the discouragement he had to face. And then we see the decision that Micah made. But then lastly and finally, we see the deliverance that Micah found. And see, this deliverance was based on three things. And I want to show you what I'm talking about quickly. It was based on a confident assurance that Micah had. In verse number 8, boy, I like this. Man, I've been studying on this verse for about 2 or 3 days now, and I've been just about ready to shout. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Glory to God. Folks, I tell you, there's people that's just looking for you to fall. There's people just got their eyeball on you, saying, you know what, that old holier than thou, just give them time. They'll make a mistake. Just give them time. I'm going to tell you something. I get up a whole lot better than I fall. Glory to God. You didn't hear me this morning. I get up. Let me get up here where you can see me, all right? I get up a whole lot better than I fail. Because Micah said, when I fall, I shall arise. Glory to God. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning would have to testify to say there was a time in my life when I had fallen. There was a time in my life, yes, I made mistakes. There was a time in my life when I've done what I shouldn't have done. And you know what? I was down and people had me down for the count. But I want you to know something. God came along. I looked unto Him. I waited for Him. And all of a sudden there He was. And I fell. Yes, I did. But I got back up. And I got back up a whole lot better than I went down. Glory to God. Folks, that's confident assurance right there. Glory to God. Kick yourself while you're down. Stop kicking yourself. You made a mistake, own up to it, but don't kick yourself over it. Just look to God. Get up and go on for Jesus. His deliverance came because of a confident assurance. His deliverance came because of a contrite acceptance. Look in verse number 9. He said, after, rejoice not against me. He said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned. I've sinned. You know why a lot of people don't ever get deliverance? Because they won't ever confess. You know why a lot of people not saved today? Because they refuse to confess their sins. You know, they think for some reason they don't have them. I don't know why that is, but they don't feel the necessary need to come to Jesus and repent. But I'll tell you something, church, even those of us that are saved, we make mistakes. We sin. But can I tell you something? Accept them. Accept your sins. Confess them before God. In Proverbs 28:13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He had a contrite acceptance. He said, you know what? He said, when I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The reason I fail and the reason I was in darkness is because I've sinned. Could it be the reason that you're in the place that you're at today is because you didn't start out on the right foundation? Could it be the reason that you're in the place you're at right now is because you didn't make the right choice? Could it be the reason that you're here now is because simply we turned the wrong direction? But no, it can't be my fault. No, it can't be. It wouldn't have been anything I'd have done. No, surely not. But Micah said, let me tell you something. The reason that I'm in the shape that I'm in, the reason Judah's in the shape that he's in, is because we have sinned. The reason that this country's in the shape that it's in right now is because we have turned from God. It's that simple. We confess that today. And folks, Micah's deliverance was because he had a confident assurance. He had a contrite acceptance. And lastly, he found a compassionate advocate. He found a compassionate advocate. Because look what he said. He said, I'm going to bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against Him. He said, until He plead my cause. Man, I tell you what, that didn't lay heavy on me. He said, I have sinned against Him, but yet even though I sinned against Him, He's the one going to plead my cause. How many of you are running out here to take up for that one that made you mad last week? Come on. You know, I mean, you think about this. This is heavy stuff. This is the very one he sinned against. And this is the one who's coming down to be his advocate, to plead his cause so he can find deliverance. The very one that you've sinned against, the very one that you turn from to make the decision that you made that caused you to fall, is the very same one that's pleading your case before the Father in heaven so you can arise and be lifted up again. What a God we serve! Awesome in power and might and glory. Aren't you glad He loves you today? We found a compassionate advocate. And boy, I'm glad that Jesus is on my side today. The Bible said, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What about you today? Where have you failed? Where have you fallen short on God? Are you just going to live with it? Are you just going to lay in it? Or are you going to try to just say it's not there? Those of you that are not saved that are here today, you're going to leave here again today and say, I don't need this Jesus. I don't need to come by faith unto Him. What sin are you talking about? I'm living a good life. I'm doing my own thing and I'm not bothering anybody. You know what? There's all kinds of folks with that same attitude. And every one of those, 100% of them die and enter into an awful place called hell. But you don't have to. Because you're here today and God is pleading your cause. You find a compassionate advocate. The very one you've sinned against is the very one that's pleading your cause. He loves you. He loves you. And children of God, listen. You make mistakes. You do. I make mistakes. I do. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that when we fall, He pleads our case and we can arise again. Folks, let me tell you something. Look to God and be patient and wait on Him. And God will come through every time. But don't lay in it and don't live with it. Get up and get out of your failure today. Let's stand.